But in fact, I'm going to read from actually Jonah 3:10, the last verse of Jonah 3. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labour and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. So we're at our final section of our sermon series in Jonah. You know, Jonah is a great Sunday school story, isn't it? Lots of people know the story of Jonah. It's a real classic for that. It's a U-rated, you know, anybody can read the book of Jonah. It's great. It's a great story. I don't know how many people knew it before when they were children. Anybody knew the story of Jonah when they were children? Almost everybody. I'm not so sure these days quite as much, but still, lots of people know the story of Jonah. And for chapters 1 and 3, as I say, it's a U-rated film, isn't it? It's a bit, I can see it as an animated film. You know, the ones that you go to and the kids like certain bits, but the adults get other bits. If you've ever been to one of these films at the cinema, there's two lots of laughing. There's the laughing that the kids have, and then there's the adult story behind it, and the adults laughing the different things. So you get a from the kids, and you go, oh, from the dads. And so far, it's been a bit like that. There's been learning points, but it's been a ripping good yarn. So I come in today, and what do I get? I get the X-rated section of Jonah, the 18+. Because has everybody ever heard this last chapter in Sunday school? It's different, isn't it? It's scary. It's disturbing, if we look at it properly. Well, why is the book of Jonah, as you take it as a whole, why do I say it's scary? Is it because of the Assyrians? Because that's who we're talking about. Nineveh, this capital of Assyria. And I know you've had some background on that. Sherry's very kindly showed me what you've had so far. Remember Assyria, this big empire across the top of Iraq area, invade other places, and unlike the Babylonians, which often took people off in exile, they would annihilate people, they would cut the tongues out. This is a brutal society. Not to say it wasn't cultured. If you go to the British Museum, you can see a wonderful thing of wall sort of tile sculptures that are carved, and there's chariots and all sorts of often quite warlike things on it. So a cultured, big, but brutal society. the Assyrians and up at Nineveh. Is that why it's scary? No, I don't think so. Is it scary because of God's control over the natural elements? We've just seen about the wind and the bush, but of course, mainly it's about the storm, isn't it? I'm a terrible sailor on calm water. So actually, I don't particularly like the idea of a storm. And if I try and put myself in the sailors, absolutely fearful for their lives, that's not pleasant. That's a bit disturbing. But it's not the reason why the book of Jonah is really disturbing. Is it because of this sort of, if you like, we talked about God doing the elements, the natural control. What about the supernatural, the big fish? I mean, that is a big one to get your head around, isn't it? It's a big one to get your head around. And that can be a bit scary when God acts in ways that we don't really understand. Is that why it's scary? I don't think so. I think this is, I say scary, I think disturbing in a sense, something that, you know, can make us well up on the inside. Why? It's something much more mundane. Because, yeah, more mundane but more profound. Because although Jonah was 2,700 years ago, although he lived a long time ago, he had a pulse like us, but mostly he acted like us. We see in Jonah the ups. We see in Jonah the person that would get down and pray. We see in Jonah the person that would then go out and speak for the Lord. And I think we can identify with that. But also we see in Jonah the person that ran away, the person that tried to shut himself off from the storm. He was asleep. You can read that in different ways. But shut himself off from reality. And aren't we like that too? As we come to the last chapter, as Jonah is so like us, we can get something from it, but only if we're willing to look at ourselves honestly. And that's why it's so disturbing. It's great, you can look at other people and say, yeah, people can be quite good at saying to other people what they should do and what's wrong with them and how they should act. But actually looking at yourself is often much more difficult. And therefore we come to chapter 4. And as I read in the end of chapter 3, God was going to punish Nineveh. And he changes his mind. And how did Jonah react? I think I gave a clue in the reading, really. He was angry. He wasn't just angry, he was absolutely livid. He was off the scale. Let's get this. Yeah, he wasn't just a bit annoyed. He was off the scale angry at God for not punishing Nineveh. So potentially his greatest moment, at the pinnacle of his career, where he'd been, and Nineveh had, as we heard last time, you know, Nineveh had come back to God, well, had repented from what they were doing. We'll leave aside the motivations. We see another side to Jonah. And how else does he react? Self-justification. Oh gosh, this is a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Because what does he say? Oh God, yeah. Let me read it out. Let me not paraphrase it, because this is important. Oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish in the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Is that why you fled to Tarshish? He's retelling the story, isn't he? He's retelling the story to make himself look good. Oh, that is a bit painful. I wonder if any of us have ever done that before. You know, here's this hero. Is he going a bit down in your estimations here? So, self-justification. And then the manipulation. Oh, it's right for me to die. You know, just... Oh, gosh, this is so bad. You know, this is so bad. God, what you've done, I might as well just die. Do we ever try to manipulate things? I'm not saying it's quite as extreme as that. But if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. It can be very subtle. Gosh, Are you seeing Jonah as a different light from the Sunday school story? I told you it was 18 rated. And what does God respond to him? So here's Jonah, which God's invested some time in. And God has seen him be great for him. God has saved him. And what does God say to him? Is it right for you to be angry? Then he gives him this illustration of the bush where he protects him and then gets rid of it. And says, so, you know, it's the same with Nineveh, you know, can't I do what I can do? But then he says again, what does he say? Is it right for you to be angry? In other words, look inside yourself. Examine yourself. Is it right for you to be angry? Examine yourself. Have you understood this situation? Number one, understanding. Look inside yourself. Is it right for you to be angry? What are your motives, Jonah? And that's sort of where it finishes. So what for us? I don't think we need reminding, and I'm not having a go at anybody, because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And Jonah is far from perfect. But also for us these days, we need to check. What is our understanding? What is our understanding of the nature of God? Because there are times probably when we say, "What God, why are you doing this?" And we get angry. We don't understand. We as a family, strange as you might think for a group of sort of 19 to 23 year olds, plus me and Tara, we actually quite like watching documentaries together, all sorts of documentaries. But the other one we watched the other night was about a church in America. Now, I'm not into doing other churches down because we're all different. But this was a church of one family of about 60 people who are so isolated they think no other church has got it right. The warning bells might be going a little bit there. But they existed, as the documentary went on, you see, they existed by a set of rules. Rules, a bit like, you know, the Old Testament we can sometimes think of as a set of rules to abide by. And as it went on, I was thinking, actually, it's much easier to abide by a set of rules. So everything you tick off, does that meet it or not? That makes life a lot easier for them. Because they can be very, very black and white about every situation. But God is a God, as we see here, of compassion. A God who changed his mind from what he said to Jonah in the beginning. And we know that life is never simple as the black and white, simple rules and regulations. Yes, we know that our understanding of God is that he doesn't like things that aren't right. We call it sin. He calls it sin. But that's a posh name for things that are not right. And yet we know in ourselves that none of us meets that standard. And so to have a rule that says we don't like everybody because they've done this doesn't allow for the compassion of God. And I think as a church we recognise that. We come from all different backgrounds. I tell you this morning, I'm very at home because this is like preaching in a small Baptist church. which actually is my background rather than a glorious high ceiling church. I've got no microphone, you can all hear me, I think. We've all got different backgrounds. That's, I can't remember the point I was making there, but never mind. We submit to God, even though we might not always understand. So understanding is one thing. The second thing is our motivation. I told you it's X-rated. Gosh, how often do we really examine our motivation? How often do we work along that top level that Jonah's now going on about storming off and I want it done this way? In this church meeting, well, not here, but you know, I've seen in church meetings people get very, very angry about things that aren't done their way. Even down to the colour of the kitchen's surfaces. I'm not kidding. And people find it easier to argue about non-biblical things than they do about biblical. But, you know, all these things are coming back to me. Oh, gosh. But, you know, to actually honestly ask ourselves what our motivation is. When you preach, you have to ask, what is your motivation here? Because it can be quite easy to get up and start to think about, okay, yeah, I've got a captive audience for 10 minutes. I'm going to enjoy it. But that's not the point, is it? What's my motivation? Is my motivation really to bring the word of God? In which case, that's sometimes difficult. Perhaps a bit like this morning, some things cut near to the bone. But let's conclude, because, I've gone on a little while. Jonah was a flawed, yet persistent servant of God. I suspect, as I was thinking about this, he would wish chapter 4 didn't exist. I expect I had this sort of daydream of a Trump-esque vision of him going round trying to find chapter 4 to destroy it, or if you're a bit older, Nixon-esque perhaps. Because then he would end as a hero, as one of the greats of the Bible. But it ends, being angry. We don't know what happened after that. But that makes him so much more real. So much more challenging, because we can never live up to a hero. But a fallen hero, a flawed, deeply flawed hero, is so much more like this. Can we allow it to change us? Can we allow it to search us from within? And we ask ourselves as we finish, is it right for me to be angry with God? Amen. Thank you.